From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Kearns with you one more time. I have been standing in for Charlie Kelch, who normally hosts the broadcast. Charlie's been on vacation, but God willing, he'll be back with you Monday to introduce you day by day to Let the Bible Speak. I trust that you'll stay with us for the rest of this 30-minute broadcast, as today we complete our study of the portion in Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, on the incomparable sorrow of Christ, thinking of Christ in Gethsemane. And today we'll be continuing with some of the powerful and personal application that that passage brings to our hearts. Before we get there, however, we'll have our usual gospel music. And to start with, we're going to think upon a very important hot topic. Mom, what is my soul? In Exeter University in England, they run a course on children's thinking in religious education. One of the questions that children have asked is profound. What is a soul? The experts at Exeter tell us that we should not really try to give them an answer. Karen Aylward, a course leader at the university, said, "I would resist defining what it is. Instead, I would explore what they think it is and use their ideas as a starting point. I'd want to know why they've asked the question. Is it something they've seen on television? Is it linked to a question at school? Or are they curious about what happens to us after we die?" Close the quote. If the children's question is profound, the academic's answer is profoundly disturbing. Kids ask a deep question about something that is of the utmost importance, and they deserve an answer. Instead, we are told we should explore what they think the soul is. It's the old error that we cannot and must not speak authoritatively on such matters. One person's feelings are as valid as another's. What the child thinks is more important than telling it the answer. Underlying this approach is the sad reality that in the West we have given the educational process over to a bunch of academics whose starting point is the blatant denial of the reality of the Bible as the Word of God and of the Gospel of Christ as God's authoritative revelation to mankind. These academics have, for the most part, embraced multiculturalism. Indeed, most universities would refuse to hire them if they did not embrace it. And so they relegate all answers to such questions as, what is a soul, to the realm of unsupportable opinion, with one opinion or religious belief being as valid as the next. The result is that our kids are growing up without any instruction on the most vital matters that affect their immortal souls. It's a tragedy that we have entrusted our children to a mostly anti-Christian bunch in the educational system, people who know nothing about the needs of their souls and care even less. Most churches don't help much either. Religion has become a matter of feeling good here and now, or of changing the world's economy, or of getting involved in the green movement. Most churches have more to say and do about Earth Day than about the Day of the Lord and the destiny of souls that will live forever. If your child asks, "Mom, what is a soul?" you should start by telling him that he is a soul. Go to Genesis and show him how God created man and breathed into him the breath of life, thus making him a living soul. Show him that this living soul will live on after it has been separated from the body. used the words of Christ in Mark 8:36 to show him the preciousness of the soul. Tell him the good news of how the Lord Jesus made his soul, his real self, an offering to God to save our souls. Impress on him the truth that souls will be either with Christ or without him for all eternity. Let him hear the glorious message that every soul who trusts Christ as Savior and Lord will be saved and will be with him forever. Your child may not grasp the truth of all this all at once, but he deserves an honest answer to an honest question. So, no matter what the experts say, give it to him and look to the Lord to make it effective to the saving of his soul. As you heard at the top of the broadcast, Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, and this program originates in Greenville, South Carolina. If you'd like to be in touch with us, our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. And our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827.
Search me, O God, and know my heart
my life and make it whole.
In our study of Christ's sorrow in the Garden of Gethsemane, we have been thinking in our last broadcasts of the powerful and personal application. We have seen how great is the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, how glorious is his obedience and righteousness, how necessary is his atonement. And yesterday we ended by looking at how foul a thing sin is. That's where we take up today's study as we conclude this look at the incomparable sorrow of our Savior.
Look at him there, lying, prostrate, oozing blood, crying with strong cries that rent the heavens. Look at him and listen to him, and see that's where sin brought the Savior. It will teach you something else. It will teach you how terrible hell is, how terrible is hell. Here was darkness. Here not only was darkness, but here, as Christ said, was the hour of the power of darkness. This is your hour, he said, and the power of darkness. So it's not my imagination that this is hell's darkness that's let loose in the Garden of Gethsemane. Such was that darkness that it caused even Christ to cry out in consternation. What then must it be to be abandoned to that darkness? That it becomes utter darkness, the darkness of utter, eternal alienation from God and his light. A darkness into which no beam of divine favor ever enters. A darkness out of which no prayer to God can ever escape. A darkness leads to the torments of the damned forever. In that darkness in Gethsemane, we hear the agonized cries of the Lord Jesus Christ as he entered into the realm of Satan's dominion to pluck his people from Satan's hand. And I think it's not going too far to say that those cries of Christ's agony portend the cries of the damned as they suffer the darkness and the doom of those who are abandoned to the prince of the bottomless pit forever. Jesus spoke of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Those words can never convey the awful agonies of the damned in hell. I wonder, was the sadness of Christ in Gethsemane not due, at least in some measure, to the sight that he had that we cannot have of souls under Satan's power, bound for outer darkness to be damned forever? I believe that was certainly part of it. My friend, if that sight of the reality of hell's grip on souls and the reality of the damnation of hell forever would cause the Son of God to cry out in anguish and consternation, how do men sit on the edge of hell without a tear, without a fear, without a prayer, without a cry? And how can we who are saved sit beside them and care nothing? Look again at Christ as he lies there in the ground in Gethsemane, and see how fearful of a thing it is to encounter Satan. There is a terrible experience here as he hurls the filth and wickedness of sin with all his hellish malignity against the Savior. And the sole aim is to destroy. But you know, that's always true. That's always true when Satan or his powers encounter any human soul. Satan never encounters a human being without having the purpose to destroy him. Do you remember that awful scene in Mark chapter 5? Not the only record of this, but it's the one I'll draw your attention to. Mark chapter 5, where there was a man who was possessed with a legion of devils. The Lord Jesus came. This was a man who had cut himself, a man who had run naked among the tombs, a man who could not be bound with chains. If he was bound, he just broke them asunder, as Samson had broken the cords with which he was bound. He was a man demented and distracted. Jesus came and he cast out Satan. Now notice this, the man was found sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And we naturally fix our attention upon the man and see the wonderful deliverance that the Lord Jesus gave him. And that is glorious. That's the gospel. That's what Christ does when he casts Satan out. He clothes you where once you were naked in his own perfect righteousness. He gives you a right mind where once you were in the madness of sin. He lets you sit at rest at his feet where once you were distracted and demented. But you know, that's not the whole story. Satan comes out with his hoard out of the man and into the swine. What happened to them? They ran swiftly down that steep slope to their destruction. That's what Satan was intending all along the line with the man himself. Destruction. Satan never plays games. I remember years ago when I was new in the pulpit over in Sharon Drive, a young woman coming and she was distressed because she couldn't get assurance of salvation and she had this problem and that problem. We got to talking and I had this awful eerie feeling. I had not long before that, before coming here, come out of a most horrendous experience of having to deal with Satanism at its worst. And I had this awful experience, this awful feeling. There's something radically wrong here. This is a girl who can say some things that sound Christian, but there's something wrong here. She couldn't pray. She couldn't confess the name of Jesus Christ as Lord. And when that happened, I knew what I was dealing with. I said to her, we were bowed in prayer, and I knew the leading of the Lord, what I'd got to ask her. And I asked her, have you ever been involved with any kind of witchcraft, Satan worship, whatever? Her eyes grew big and startled. She looked up and she said, "Well, we did play with the Ouija board, but that we were only playing. We were only fooling. But such was the result of the folly that when she would try to say Jesus Christ is Lord, it was as if someone was choking and you could see the redness around the neck as if she was choking to death. She could not use those words. And I remember saying to her, young woman, remember this. You may joke with Satan, but Satan never jokes with you. No play acting with the devil. There's a malignity that is so concentrated and furious that its sole aim is your destruction. And yet, you know, to some, Satan's just a joke. To some, he's just a matter of an interesting investigation. This is one reason why I detest So much of what goes on under the banner of the charismatic movement, where they get up and they're talking glibly about Satan, the idiots of TBN, I think you call it, Trinity Broadcasting Network, put out some gun-slinging rock singer dressed in black, made up to look like a cowboy. He's a Christian version of John Wayne going through the bat wing doors of some bar, and he's having a shootout. Only his shootout is with the devil, and it's such crazy, foolish, almost blasphemous nonsense. And Satan is now just someone that this tin pot fool can point a blank gun at and say, I'm shooting you, and I'm doing this, and I'm commanding that, and I'm commanding the other thing. And Satan is a thing of ridicule. I want to tell you, it's all a lie. It's all a lie. And the devil's never happier when he has a bunch of idiots thinking he's just a joke. Or he's the devil of a pain in the leg. Oh, I cast out the devil because I had a headache. I want to tell you, when I see the Savior there in Gethsemane, I learn to shun Satan and everything to do with him like the plague. Because this is an awful thing to meet with this hellish malignity. On some degree, every Christian is going to meet with the opposition of hell. In some degree, not in this degree, because God will never allow us to be tempted above what we're able to bear. And we certainly could not bear this. But we will meet the opposition of the evil one. But I want you to notice this as we close, how complete was Christ's victory. Because he, in his weakness, was yet stronger than Satan at his strongest. Not only so, he entered right into the house of the strong man. And while the strong man sought to slay him, he bound the strong man and he delivered his goods. In our flesh, he succeeded where Adam had failed, and now he stands able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him. And not only so, but he's able to keep all whom he saves, no matter what power or what subtlety Satan employs for our destruction. I leave you this morning with those words of the Epistle of Jude, verses 24 and 25. And having thought upon the sorrow of Christ, the depths of that sorrow, and from that deep sorrow tried, and that agony and conflict tried to draw out some of the things we may learn about him. It is good that we would go away with a mighty, joyous song upon our lips, with a mighty ascription of praise and a benediction to God. Because listen, when you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, there overcoming Satan in the garden and then later on the cross, you can say, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. I trust that you will go from this place this morning saying, Hallelujah, what a Savior.
been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying, thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.